Ladies and gentlemen, here it is, the most listened to radio show on the planet. Even the other stations are tuned in too.
He makes Kraft hot sauce, wing sauce, sriracha, hot honey, and hot syrups. All of his products are gluten-free, dairy-free, and delicious. And he uses all natural, mindfully selected ingredients that are sourced from the USA and organic whenever possible. He loves sharks, and he knows it. He has lent his voice to their conservation and protection over the years. He is Gabe DiSaverio, and he is the owner and founder of The Spicy Shark, and he's here today with our good friend, Amber Kennedy. So how are you, folks? Thanks for coming on.
Fantastic. Hi. I mean, could there be a better intro? I think not.
I think there probably could be a lot better one. I tried my best. Clearly, I didn't just rip that from thespicyshark.com.
No way.
And tailor it. But it's been, Gabe, you've been on the show a few times, and I just want to thank you again for coming on. It's always like one of my favorite things to have you on. You know,
you're it's just always so fun. Great. I look forward to it.
And Amber, this is the first time you've been on the show, and I know you're an equally passionate fan of sharks and everything. So I wanted to thank you as well for being
here. Sure.
We're gonna get into. I have a bunch of questions, so I won't ramble because I really want to like get into Gabe's brain here. But the last time you were here, I have to mention this. You were ready to launch the Hamagata. This is the half hammerhead shark, half alligator. Inaugural mythical creature. This is in the six fin series.
That is correct.
How is that going? Because the last time it was like on deck. So
it
I'm
was
very curious.
Yeah. And that was 3 years ago, which is crazy how fast time flies. But a little quick background just on the six fin series and what that is. You know, we have a five fin heat scale. And when I started the company in 18, we had our five fin scale. And at one point I looked at my wife because, you know, if I made everything as hot as I like to eat things, you know, I would have a very niche market, to say the least, because I'm just a chili head. And when I was starting the company and doing this, I said, you know, I need to succeed. So I got to have a range of flavors, a range of heat levels. But like a few years in, I looked at my wife and I said, this is our company and we don't make a sauce that's hot enough for me like that. That doesn't work.
How does that work?
Something about this. So the reason is it's very, very difficult to get great flavor with extreme heat. It's very hard to do that. And at the time, the Megalodon was my best stab at it. So the Hamagata was the first of my attempt to make something hotter. So, you know, I had the Megalodon, which is the largest shark that ever existed. So, you know, what's bigger than a Megalodon? You know, mythical creatures that come into my head, half hammerhead shark, half alligator, you know,
of course,
spelled with a Boston accent, the Hamagata kid.
Wicked cool.
That is the sixth fin because we had the five fin series. So a long way to answer your question, we just launched the newest six fin, which is the Mako snake. So this guy is half Mako shark, half snake, and he's got a little, the snake part has got both cobra and rattlesnake. He's his own beast. I'm still the only one to have seen him. And this one, totally different than the Hamagata, other than the heat level. And this one is Indian inspired. I love Indian food. A lot of people love curry styles. It's a masala base, coconut milk, mango chutney, curry spices. It's got ghost pepper, Carolina Reaper, habanero, a little bit of maple syrup and ginger for sweetness. We also have some mango and pineapple in there. But if you think chicken tikka masala, but, you know, on crazy steroids.
Oh, man, that sounds so good. I ate before we did the show. Now I'm hungry again. Just listening to you talk about that. How hot are we talking for the
It's equivalent to the Hamagata. So, I mean, nothing we do causes pain, you know, is challenge heat. Like it all comes from a very, very culinary place. Yeah. But this is, you know, as hot as something's going to be where you still can really appreciate the food and appreciate the flavor. If someone, you know, says Tabasco's too hot for them, this would be an unpleasant experience. But for someone who likes heat, I think this would be very satisfying.
Yeah, that's what I like about your products. Is there something for everybody? Because my wife and I bought your products and she does not like really hot things, like does not, despite being Latina, she doesn't like them. And I'm chili head. Like I crave, I want the hotter, the better. And when you say it's hard to make a really hot sauce that tastes good, is that because like a lot of other companies or people, they just put too much in without like balancing it and it just ends up like not being good? Like how, why is that so difficult?
The issue is the heat, and there's a lot of talented sauce makers out there, but naturally the heat overwhelms certain of the nuance flavors. So you have to really not just use real peppers, which is what you need to do. Some people will use extracts, which just blows your head off. And that's the, you know, the old one drop ruins the chili. And then you feel it in your mouth for an hour and it's got like a metallic, like just unpleasant chemically taste. So you can't use extracts, which is cheating and isn't pleasant, but it's really using the right peppers and using the right spice blend that can cut through extreme heat. So when I started the Hamigata, I've been to New Orleans 15 times. It's my favorite city in America. And I was like, all right, how can I have something really hot where the flavor comes through? And I'm like, God, Cajun cooking. I love cooking and eating Cajun Creole. That spice blend really gets through heat. And Indian and masala and curry spices are just, if you eat Indian food, they are just the way that they are. The flavors that they are so vibrant that they cut through a lot. So it really is making sure you have the right spice blends and the right food ingredients to go with those peppers. And then you use a certain amount of pepper so that not everything hits you right away. Like a lot of our sauces, you're not going to get instant, my face is on fire. It builds over the course of like 5 seconds. And you really have like a one Mississippi of getting all of that flavor before the heat really comes in.
That's why you're so good at this. It is a science. It really is. And you obviously know your shit, what you're doing with that. And I feel like the Spicy Shark, the reason you guys are so successful, just as from a consumer, is you do have something for everybody and you got in, you know what you're doing. You know, like you could teach classes on the science of this. I feel like hot sauce has become like the kombucha the last few years, where there's everyone just jumping on the bandwagon and you're seeing so many companies pop up and they can't all know what they're doing. So you see a lot like come and go. And I feel like you guys are so consistent and just growing because of, you know what, you're a master at this. You're curating all this stuff.
I really appreciate it. There's a ton of new entrants, to your point. I was in the beer business for 17 years before I left to do this. And, it reminds me of the craft beer industry like 10, 15 years ago, where it was really starting to explode. Not yet commercial. You still go into a regular grocery store and there's a good chance you're not going to see any craft hot sauce. It'll be, Tabasco, Frank's, Texas Pete's, Cholula, Sriracha.
Arizona Gunslinger.
Yeah. But it really is exploding, which you're right. And there's a ton of brands that are coming in. There's also a ton that go out. And, but the, you know, what's fun is the fans of craft hot sauce are awesome. And they totally remind me of the fans of craft beer. You know, they're very passionate. A lot of them are very educated. They will totally come and geek out on peppers and they're growing peppers in their backyard. And it is so much fun going to events and festivals because these people follow it. You know, there's a lot of awesome groups on Facebook, like For the Love of Hot Sauce and groups like that. That's the biggest one that, people get really into it and talk about it and just geek out on it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is fun. And it's a good camaraderie. Like Amber, you're a big hot sauce person, I would imagine.
No, the maple syrup that Gabe makes.
Okay, so let me ask you this. The maple syrup, this is the, I have the product list up here. I do have questions about the maple syrup. Is it only for pancakes in the morning or can you rock this thing other times of the day?
It is so funny. And you would think that this was actually rehearsed and it is not rehearsed, but
it's
at this very
commercial,
moment.
I'm being paid 15 grand for this.
I'm having an iced coffee right now in my favorite custom mug that my wife bought me, my Jaws mug here.
So
and
cool.
One of my products is in here in my iced coffee as we're speaking, my hot maple syrup.
And oh, so you put it in there like a sweetener?
Yes. And you know what's
Ooh,
so funny is?
Sounds good.
That's actually that was the precipice of the creation of it is one day I was drinking a coffee in the morning and I was thinking about it. I had already flavored my coffee with maple syrup. That's how I get the sweetness in my coffee is regular maple syrup. And yeah. I was thinking about it. I go, this is literally the one time of the day that anything I put in my mouth doesn't have heat to it is my coffee. And I was like, well, I already put maple syrup in it. Why not mess around and try to come up with a hot maple syrup? So I started researching all different types of grade A syrup. And I landed on, there's a lot of different grade A's, and I landed on dark robust grade A, which is the darkest grade A maple syrup you can get. So it's latest in the season. And what I like about that syrup is it on its own, it imparts coffee and toffee notes. So when I was messing around with different peppers, that coffee toffee and also the richness of the darker syrup really stood up to the pepper better. So we went with a dark robust grade A. I buy from three different sugar houses in Vermont, and we infuse it with habanero and just a little bit of ginger. So it's a very simple in essence in that it's three ingredients, but it's really a showcase of the syrup and then just, you know, the right amount of habanero and the right amount of ginger. And yeah, you certainly can do pancakes. Like you said, that's a great use, but you can make spicy margaritas, spicy maple Manhattans. You can use it as a glaze on the grill. Amber, close your ears, but you could do ribs and chicken with it, but you could totally do tempeh and tofu maple glaze as well. And there's a ton you can do with it.
Delicious. That's you. So cool. How dare I never thought about that.
I didn't say I did. I said one could.
One could. Not here. This is a vegan only zone. No, but I think it's cool that you can do that. I never because I hope the coffee's Dunkin' Donuts, by the way. It's all I want to say.
It's actually, well, this one specifically is Folgers, but yes,
but it's there.
Us New Englanders love our D&D.
I'm trying to just pack as many stereotypes about New Englanders in one call as I can.
That's an accurate.
Yeah, well, you packed as many as you could into the call too.
the Sox beat the Phillies yesterday, so I'm a little sore.
The Celtics also beat the Sixers yesterday too.
No, you guys are really stomping over us. It's really sad.
Well, if you follow hockey, you can make fun of us, but that's all you got right now.
Bruins, right? Bruins fans are no joke too. I don't know how I went down this rabbit hole, but I was looking at Bruins fans videos. It started off with something with the Celtics, and then I was clicking around, and the Bruins fans are no joke. I thought Philadelphia fans were pretty rowdy, but they were. They're very passionate at the games from some of the videos I saw. Boston in general, don't mess with them. But the maple syrup, it's such a good idea in coffee. Like I never even crossed my mind to do that. But now that's all I'm going to do from this day forward. I want to mention too to our listeners, tweet us at @_podcastle and tag the Spicy Shark on Twitter. And the first five people to do that, the Podcastle will send you a Spicy Shark item of your choice from the store. So we're going to do that promotion today.
Thank you.
Just to get our listeners some cool stuff. And Amber's going to pay for it. So, well, just send
them okay.
Bill. No, I'm kidding.
Well,
I wanted to do that because it's just you have so many good products. And the first one I've ever had, Gabe, was the Nurse Shark. The jalapeno.
Yeah.
And I killed that thing in like a week. It was great. And your products, for the most part, they're anywhere between the $8.99 range to, if you get the collections, it's $37.99. The Sweet Heat collection and the Grilling collection for $29.99. The prices are really, really great. I mean, they're very reasonable.
I try my best to keep it, to keep it reasonable. But they're obviously going to be more than a Tabasco and a Cholula. They're very expensive to make with the ingredients, but we try our best to give a value.
You do a great job. And what I love about the Spicy Shark is your family isn't. It's a family company.
It
so
is.
From what I see, your family members and your wife and even your kid, they're helping not only with the website and the back end visual side of the stuff, but you post videos on. Check out his Instagram at the Spicy Shark. And you guys are literally going into like small shops all around the country and like dropping off deliveries and checking in with business owners. Like you're very hands-on.
Yeah.
Like literally, which is great.
you know, for any small business, it's very difficult to get into, you know, big box stores, the big grocery stores. So, you know, I survived by living with other small businesses and working with other mom and pop shops. And, you know, it's been great. I mean, New England's certainly the heart of our business because that's where we are here in southern New Hampshire, south, you know, the seacoast of New Hampshire. But we're all over the country and, you know, randomly, like, you know, we might have one place in the state of Kansas. So we're kind of all over the place, but, you know, geographically, most of our business is here in New England. But we work with small businesses all throughout the country, and we've got some really awesome customers that are super supportive.
Yeah, people care. And they, I feel like you have a good loyal base of customers and vendors and things like that because of who you are and what you do. You know, you're not just... There's a face to the brand is what I'm trying to say, you know.
Yeah, it's a good... Well, my wife and daughter are prettier faces, but yes, we're there.
Florida for some reason. Do you go back and forth?
Yeah, we have a small snowbird home in Florida that we usually rent out, but we try to get down there as much as we can. So my daughter had spring break last week and we were down there, and so we have a little presence in Florida just cuz I've gotten to know some of the folks there, and it does great in Florida. I wish we could get into more places. It does incredibly well.
And do you bring your own hot sauce with you when you go out to a public restaurant or something? Do you trust restaurants or do you bring your own?
You know, I we've got some great restaurant partners, but speaking generally, I don't trust restaurants. And I always have my hot sauce holster on my hip, and they're custom made. Actually, I got to give a shout out to Hot Sauce Holsters. You can go to their website and they make custom holsters for pretty much anyone. But Hot Sauce Holsters and the owner, Steve, they're incredible. He screen prints it. His wife hand paints every single one. So I've got a custom Spicy Shark holster. I sell them on the website, and that's always on my hip. It's certainly a talking piece for sure. A lot of people will come up to me and ask about it.
Yeah, it's
and
like a hot sauce cowboy.
Well, I tell everyone.
When you see the generic hot sauce on the table, you're like, no, this is not happening. We're not doing Tabasco today, folks.
And the beautiful thing is it's open carry in all 50 states. So, you know, there's no concerns about
no
that.
Concern, whatsoever. No permit needed. Just go ahead. Nope, stand your ground. Stay with hot sauce. That's so cool. I do like that you do that because it's tough. Like if you have like celiac, this is a different example, but if you have like celiac disease, or maybe you have a preference with like you're vegan or something like that, you're at the mercy of whatever restaurant you go into. So you really have to do your homework, and it's good to have kind of a backup. And in your case, it would be hot sauce. And if you go somewhere, you're going to need hot sauce with everything. So 100%. you can't leave it to chance. It's almost insulting, I would think. If somebody like offered you Tabasco sauce, it would be like offering Elon Musk like a Chevy to drive or something. It's like, no, Gabe's in like a whole new sphere going on there.
Well, you know what I said? There's no such thing as bad hot sauce. Just some are better than others.
Really good. You're that's a good humble quote, you know, very like,
got to give a lot of love to the ones who started it all, like Tabasco for sure. And, you know, I'll still put Tabasco in clam chowder and all that, but we definitely provide, you know, a lot more different flavors and, you know, different ways to enjoy hot sauce that complement different meals in other ways.
Good stuff. And you know how to pair, you know, like what goes with what and how it all works. Where I don't, I just learned you could put maple syrup in coffee today. So I do try to put
you're in the majority, though. You're in the majority to not know that. Don't feel bad.
I do try to put stuff, hot sauce on everything, though. I really do. Like if it's applicable, I will do it. And I'm not as traversed of like the best kind of hot sauce to pair with what, but I'm learning, and it's really. It's kind of like a hobby of mine. You know, there's like so much out there, and it's like when I'm shopping now, I think like what hot sauce will go well with this and things like that. So you have a little something for everybody with.
Well, I know you're on the left coast over there, but I think you should put July 29th in your calendar. Come over to Hampton, New Hampshire for New England Hot Sauce Fest. And then your eyes will be beyond opened for every single food pairing, 35 different companies. I mean, you wouldn't know what to do with yourself.
This is the second annual New England Hot Sauce Fest. This is on July 29th, and this is put on by you, sir. This is your baby.
It is. You know, I started the company in 2018, and I've been everywhere. You know, I go to Albuquerque every year for the Fiery Food Show. I've been to the Chicago Hot Sauce Expo. You know, I've been to New York City and Brooklyn for hot sauce events. I've been all over the country. And after a while, I'm like, you know, there's six states in New England, and there's literally not one hot sauce festival, not even a small one. And after a while, I said, the hell with it. I'll just start one. And that was at the end of 21. And I said, I'm doing this. I was in the beer business for a while. I had experience with events. I mean, not putting one on from scratch, but, you know, I had, again, ton of help from friends and family. And, you know, I worked with two nonprofit beneficiaries, and they were also awesome in helping me put it together and getting all the people that follow them involved. And so we started. I said, we keep it simple, call it New England Hot Sauce Fest. Called up my buddies from Smutty Nose Brewery, which is right in Hampton, right near the ocean. They've got basically like a football field behind their brewery. And I know those guys from the beer biz, and I'd done events there for Spicy Shark. And I said, let's do it. And it was crazy. We had 2,500 people. It was their biggest event in history. And we had last year.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. Amber was at it, even though we didn't get to see each other, but she was there. I know for sure. And
I remember you talking about it, Amber. You were there, and it was like, it was awesome. I wish I lived there, you know, and I could have went. It's so cool.
So we're bringing it back. So it's an annual event. And with this year on July 29th, it's going to be back at Smutty Nose, but we've got 35 hot sauce companies, 10 food trucks, hot pepper eating contests. Those are the checks we got to,
Were the nonprofits, right?
So they're awesome. Blue Ocean Society and Seacoast Science Center. And, I think it was something, 4,700 we were able to raise for each of them, which is awesome.
That's awesome.
And we kept
man.
The ticket prices were low, just $10. And, but we have great, these two MCs that are good friends of ours, Bella and Dark. They run Heat 101 out of South Carolina. They fly up for it. They're the MCs. I'm an 80s lunatic, so I've got a good buddy of mine who DJs, who plays exclusively 80s music. And
nothing but Duran Duran and Motley Crue. And
there's a lot of Motley Crue.
Yeah, you got to do it.
Yes.
Hey.
Huge Motley guy.
Motley Crue or Guns N' Roses real quick. Who's better?
Motley Crue.
Yeah.
You know, who's more talented? I'd say GNR, but who do I listen to more? Motley Crue.
Okay, I just always have to crowbar that in because I'm a big fan of both, but Motley Crue has the, I think Slash could take Mick Mars for, could mop the floor with him if you really want to put skills down, but Motley Crue, I mean, just their catalog is fantastic, but I don't want to derail us with that, but I'm glad you guys said that. It's good to know. It's always how you can gauge somebody, but I just want to mention the New England Hot Sauce Fest going on July 29th. If you're in that area, you can go to the website and purchase tickets. Website is newenglandhotsaucefest.com. Doesn't get easier than that. And tickets are anywhere between $11 and $20. Is that for kids and adults?
So the, 11 is the ticket. And then the t-shirts that we have are $20 if you wanted a festival t-shirt. And then the $15 ticket is VIP. So we have an hour from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Before it gets crowded and crazy. So that's the $15 ticket. And if you wanted a shirt, it's $20. But like it's go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it sounds like the VIP ticket would be the way to go.
I agree.
You want to get there early and then get a shirt with it for $20.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really big field, and their capacity is 4,000 people. We had like right under 2,500 last year. So there's plenty of space, but, you know, it does get very, very busy and the lines get a little long as you get later in the day.
Well, I got to salute you for that. Congratulations. It's not easy all to put in, to set up an event, even if you've been doing it for 30 years, any event, there's so much that goes into it, but to have an inaugural event like that with that many people pulled off is not something to sneeze at. So congratulations.
Pumped, and Mother Nature helped us out a lot too. It was a gorgeous day, so we're doing the same rain dance we did last year this year.
Do you have any
we've also got two very big tents. Last year, we had a very big tent. This year, we have two. So if it's a drizzly day, there's plenty of cover. No issues whatsoever.
Yeah, you're prepared. I picture, do you ever have any vendors putting up something you don't want? And they say, it's my company. And you go, it's your company. It's my hot sauce show. It's my vessel. It's my chata. It's my...
Well done fitting that in.
I have to crowbar in Jaws. I have to.
Of course you do. Of course you do.
It's Jaws season, by the way. My friends Bob and John were big Jaws fans. And once it gets a little bit warmer, we call it Jaws season. And it's going to be Jaws movies the next few months now. I usually kick it off with the original, the classic, watch them, and then I cap it off with Jaws at the end of the summer. But
I typically don't watch Jaws the Revenge until Christmas because I see it as Christmas a movie as Die Hard is.
Yeah.
And I think it's a very underrated Christmas movie. But being that you're wearing the shirt, I think I'm actually going to not break to tradition, but add to tradition and maybe do a middle of the spring Jaws the Revenge viewing.
That's a good tradition to break sometimes, because I'm like that with... I haven't seen Jaws the Revenge that much. It's only been the last few years that I started watching it. You actually told me to watch it. I said, I've actually never seen it. You said, you have some homework to do tonight. This was like 2-3 years ago. And I did watch it. And it is a Christmas movie. I mean, it starts off on the boat and the choir, there's Christmas music. Like, it's a Christmas movie. But I feel like, I don't know, Jaws 3 deserves so much more love for what it is. I get it. It's a poorly made film and how big the shark is, I get it. But I mean, they have SeaWorld in it. Like, the licensing of SeaWorld was in there. And I just feel like that movie is so much fun. Amber, do you like Jaws?
I like the third one. Last year tried to show my fiance the Jaws movies per Gabe. That didn't go well.
Didn't go well?
No, he was like, this isn't really for me.
Well, you know what?
And I told her, you know, you don't need to rush into marriage. You know what I mean? There's no rush. Right. You know,
I think you need to prioritize.
Take things slowly. Things. Make sure it's the right match.
Yeah, that's it's a litmus test. You know, it is. But
I'm glad Amber likes Jaws 3D too, because I wanted to say two things. I'm so glad you brought up Jaws 3D. Number one, you know, of course, the original Jaws it's the greatest movie ever made. So you can't do anything about that. But the other three get a lot of guff, but you know, they're all, if you look at versus all the other shark movie that are out there, they still stand up against those. And I look at it as a family. You know, you got like the, you know, crazy uncle, the weird cousin, but you know, you still love them. They're still your family. You don't disparage.
You can't change your family, and they're a part of it.
No, exactly.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, and this year at SharkCon, you know, last year was the SharkCon's down in Tampa every year. It's one of the biggest shark conservation events in the country. So Amber, maybe you can bring this fiance down and we can start working on him. I think it's July 14th and 15th, but it's in Tampa every year. We're always a vendor at it. It's my favorite event of the year. Spencer, who runs it, does an unbelievable job. Last year was a lot of the cast from Jaws 2. The year before, I got to hang out and watch Jaws with Richard Dreyfuss. I mean, are you kidding me?
You can't get better than that, dude. I'm so jealous of you for doing that.
You got to come. But listen, this year.
It's July 15th and 16th this year.
This year. Who's this year? Jaws 3D, Louis Gossett Jr., Leah Thompson. Okay.
Really?
We're talking. I mean, this is going to be unbelievable.
That is so
cool. Calvin Bouchard. And I'm actually getting custom T-shirts made. I have Calvin Bouchard's face, and one of them says Calvin Bouchard for president, and the other one says no grenades. No grenades.
Of course.
And I'm actually going to ask him, and I hope he says yes. We'll see if he's cool or not. But I'm actually going to ask him if he's willing to do a little role play with me from the movie, as well as with Leah Thompson, because the best line of that movie is when he looks at Dennis Quaid and Leah Thompson. He goes, "You're talking about a damn shark's mother," and it's just one of the greatest lines of all the Jaws.
Oh yes, yeah. He'll do it. I can see him doing that.
I hope he does.
You'll be able to have that on there. Real quick, I want to ask you about. We talked about Lorraine Garion. She's not really, like, I mean, she's probably the most famous person alive right now associated with Jaws, aside from Richard Dreyfuss. I can't think who would come close. She doesn't like want to get involved, because you've met like pretty much everybody involved in the movies. Does she not?
Pretty much.
Is she anti?
Other than Spielberg and other than Lorraine Gary, I have met most between Jaws Fest 2012 out on Martha's Vineyard, and between all the shark cons, you know, I've met Wendy Benchley, I've met Richard Dreyfuss, I've met, you know, Alex Kintner and Chrissy, and
oh,
you know,
cool.
a lot of the people who are still alive, Carl Gottlieb, the screenwriter. But yeah, I've heard she's a lovely lady, but she just, I've talked with everyone who reaches out and organizes these events. Right now, the planning is starting for the Jaws 50 year, which is crazy, but June 20th, 2025 is the 50 year anniversary of Jaws. And I'm yes. talking to the people, on Martha's Vineyard who are planning that. And everyone just says, she just does not have an interest in any part of it. I haven't gotten rationale or reasons,
so weird.
Or it's because of this or not because of that. Or maybe she just, you know, she's older. She's in her mid or later 80s and doesn't
yeah.
have an interest. I don't want to speculate. Everything I've heard is that she's a very nice person, but she apparently
yeah, sure.
has no interest. And I hope she changes her mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. It would be a shame. Yeah. I've heard she is very nice too. Maybe I'm not going to speculate, but it's interesting. And it also ties in with, like, you know, for the sequels and all of those actors, a lot of them didn't do much after Jaws, as most people that do films in Hollywood, very few continue to do movies. But the fact that you're tied to that franchise is immortalized forever. That's all you need. I mean, Jaws, biggest blockbuster ever at its time of release. And, you know, the greatest movie ever with such a just large cult global following. Obviously, you watch that, people are going to watch the other ones over and over again. So, I mean, they're just immortalized forever. So to meet those folks involved in that is something pretty special, you know,
it really
to have
is.
That one-on-one kind of like me getting to meet Gabe and Amber today on the show. Very special for me.
Totally the same.
I wanted to, I know we're running out of time, but I wanted to just mention this. You, Amber and Gabe, both have been very vocal about shark conservation. And as you both know, I won't go through all the numbers on the show, but there's the hundreds of millions of sharks that are killed each year needlessly. And also some of the archaic and barbaric fishing tournaments and things that seem to pop up every year. You guys are very vocal about stopping them, as am I and, you know, others. But I wanted to thank you for doing that and just ask you, is there anything on the grid coming up that we should talk about asking people to speak up about or, you know, denounce or anything? Any kind of like fishing culls or shark culls, anything that you see gaining momentum?
The first
I know
thing
that's
is
really
I,
dark, by the way. I'm sorry. I'm not
yeah,
trying to
no,
right. Jaws too, but I know we're running out of time and I have to, I had to bring this up.
I'm glad you did. I mean,
the
reason I call the company the Spicy Shark is because I'm very passionate about shark conservation. That all started when I met Wendy Benchley back at Jaws Fest on 2012 and learning about how over 100 million sharks are killed every year. And, you know, the biggest causes of that are the shark fin trade, which I'm really excited that the U.S., I mean, it doesn't take place until I think October, the law finally goes in, but we finally have I just kind of want to talk about some awesome successes. So the U.S. Finally signed a bill. There were only 14 states that had this passed. Florida was one of the more recent ones, and that was great to see them do it a few years back. But now federally, the act of trading shark fins is illegal in the U.S. Now you'd probably say, what does that mean, trading of fins? What does that matter? So, you know, the majority of the consumption of shark fins is shark fin soup and in Asian countries. But the more countries that stop trading fins, it helps slow down that demand. It helps stop the amount of desire to get these fins when there's less countries you can trade it through. And the United States, believe it or not, was the eighth largest country of trading fins, even though there's almost no consumption of shark fins in the United States. You know, in my entire life. I was in Ohio of all places, and I was at a dim sum place and I saw shark fin dumplings. But, you know, that was like the one time ever in my life. Yeah. So now the consumption and trading of shark fins will be illegal by the end of the year. That's a very big win globally for sharks.
Huge win for sharks.
That's huge. And then, in addition to that, the sharks have gotten additional protections under CITES, which is the worldwide organization that puts protections. However, if local countries don't, you know, govern that and don't put laws, it's not as applicable. It's more of guidance, but some people listen and respect to that. And last year, an amber was a very big part of the Block Island one. But I'm super proud because we were very active for years to try to end the last two shark killing tournaments in New England. And that was Block Island, Rhode Island, and Newburyport, Massachusetts. And with the help of Amber and some other great people, we were able to do that. And the Block Island one ended, and then the Newburyport one just stayed a tuna only tournament. So, you know, these are tournaments that.
Great job.
Thank you very much. And thanks to Amber. And yeah. These are tournaments that are purely killing sharks for the purpose of money and trophies. And I think being that they are almost every single shark is endangered, there's just no reason for that. It's not like it's even for consumption.
There's no excuse.
Trophy hunting is just, I think when you really sit down and talk about it, it's not about politics. It's not about, pro hunting, anti-fishing, any of that. It's like, why are we killing endangered animals for the sole purpose of money and trophies? And I think most people in America and most people in the world are against trophy hunting. And that is a big thing that we do focus on. So a lot of positive
it's
stuff
important.
For sure. But there are two shark killing tournaments that are coming up in June. Both are on Long Island, which is actually where I'm kind of from. And so
that's what I was going to bring up. Yep.
Yeah. Long so Island. I'll let Amber touch a little bit more on that because she's been very active. But so I'll let Amber take it kind of from here on those two.
Sorry.
No. Go ahead. I'm very curious with this Long Island. What's happening there?
One of the ones that I'm primarily working on right now is it's a very good company, so to speak. So I'm not going to really like name them at the moment because they could just be not aware of the things that we're talking about now of how endangered sharks are. Mm-hmm. And they are for veterans. They're a nonprofit, so that's kind of a touchy one there. But
maybe they don't know. Is
right,
are they just
exactly.
a dumb, like not dumb, oblivious to the situation kind of thing?
Well, what happens a lot of times, not to jump in, but what happens a lot of times is a nonprofit gets thrown in to kind of help defend those who are trying to get make the public aware that there's a shark killing tournament just for money. So they'll say, but proceeds are being donated to the nonprofit. So it's like one of their tools.
It's a backdoor tactic.
It's a little bit nefarious how they do it. It's one of the tools. Like another one is, we donate the sharks to homeless shelters, which by the way, that's illegal. And also it doesn't actually happen, but it's just one of those.
Illegal.
You can't transport meat from, it's totally illegal. It's just, there's a lot of, we do it for science. There's all these smokescreen excuses. And the charity excuse is one where they can say, hey, why are you attacking this charity? Why we're trying to help this charity, when in actuality, they do that as a tool, as a smokescreen, as a defense mechanism to try to get people to stop, advocating for it.
Yeah. It's like this horrible thing is going on and you're like, hey, look at all the shiny stuff over here. You know what? We're like helping veterans and doing homeless stuff. And
I'm a huge supporter of our veterans. I'm sure Amber is too. And there's there's a lot of ways to raise money. And this could be a tuna tournament, or this could be, not that I'm even advocating for that, but the point is there's ways to raise money for great causes without killing endangered animals for money. You know,
that's a terrible way to raise money. Anything fishing related. I don't care if it is tuna. It's like, You know how many better ways to raise money than this? I mean, when you're talking about the pollution from the boats and the cost going into it, like, that's a terrible business model.
Like, how about
anyway.
A hot sauce festival? You know what I'm saying?
Hot sauce festival. That's what you need to do. Like, so Amber, this company, which is going to remain nameless, they're not, maybe they're not aware of the impact they're doing environmentally to the
right.
sharks.
So what we're going to try to do first is make them aware. And then depending on what kind of pushback we get, we'll either try to go for just tuna fishing, or then from there, then we bring it to the public. We start going to the news, getting on the ground there, letting the general public know. Me and a couple of my friends are going to be going there to do some journalism in June on Long Island for both of the tournaments that Gabe was mentioning. So if it doesn't get shut down this year, then maybe next year. But
and
we're
these things
staying.
Take
thanks for doing that, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
These things take time. And people like Amber, like trying every year, like the Block Island and the Newburyport last year wasn't just the first time we tried and we just like got a hole in one on both of them. Like it's been effort for years and raising awareness and letting the local community know about it. A lot of times these are like, you know, under the, in the shadows, in the darkness, and the local town doesn't even know. And so it, sometimes it takes years to raise awareness. And so Newburyport's been years in the making.
Because people see fishing tournament or something and they don't, goes to the back of the mind. They don't really know what's going on. They just think, oh, they're doing something fishing, like maybe locals or something. They don't really know what's happening, like what the deal
100%.
Is.
100%. So, you know, activation down there, like Amber's doing in New York, is huge to kind of spread the word. And the other one is the biggest shark killing tournament in the United States. And that's the Montauk one. And that one, like, traumatized me as a kid. You know, I'd be, you know, under 10 years old. And we were from the North Fork, but we do family trips out to Long Island. And you just see all of this, all these sharks just hanging upside down.
Just getting killed
for absolutely no reason. And that's one of the biggest ones that's got to be, have gone on for like almost 50 years now. And that'll be a tough one just because of the tradition of that one. And, but there's no reason not to try. And the tide is turning in a positive way. It's slow. It's slowly turning, but it is turning, you know, in the right direction. So I think there's a lot of things to be positive and feel good about.
And thank you. And it's because of people like you and Amber and, you know, countless others, these grassroots movements and outreach eventually build up, you know, a mighty wave that can knock down walls of tradition and miseducation about sharks. And it's important. I do see that gaining more traction more and more. So thank you for keeping up the good fight. And please let me know, obviously, how I can help. But our listeners and everything, too. I want to keep them posted on what they can do. So we'll dive back into that. But I know I ran over time, so I don't want to keep you guys. I just wanted to say this was an awesome show. And I hope we can all get together soon and it won't be so long in between intervals.
Yeah, sure.
I agree. And I know I'll see Amber at New England Hot Sauce Fest this year. Maybe, Amber, are you planning a trip now to Tampa, July 15th and 16th? Matthew, maybe you as well. But, you know, maybe one of these years we do a little Shark Con party.
I would love to. I'm actually going to be in Jersey the week before, so it might be a good time to just go down from
Pick me up on the Tampa.
Way. Yeah.
Every day of the year, Florida is greater than New Jersey.
Florida shark diving, too, we should mention. They're great.
I was with those guys in January. No, it was January or February, but I was on a bull shark dive with Florida Shark Diving, and it was awesome. I've been in the water with sharks before, but never with bull sharks. And you know what was so great is it was definitely February, because I remember this. It was a few days before Valentine's Day, and the first bull shark that showed up, her name was Cupid. And I said, how appropriate, right before, because there's apparently a well-known bull shark that our guide was telling us for. So it was cool. It was cool. There were three bull sharks and they, you know, I wasn't feeding them, but I was really close to them. And it's pretty incredible. I mean, they are they're pretty awesome sharks.
Oh, yeah. I think bull sharks are my second favorite sharks. They're just so much mystique about them. And they're just so cool. They're beautiful. You know, they really are. Where in Florida do you dive with bull sharks?
That was off of Jupiter. That's the Jupiter. Majority. Yeah. Jupiter is like shark diving central.
They can do it in the Keys too, I believe.
I've dived with sharks in the Keys like over 10 years ago. There's some good diving spots there.
Was that the accident one? You accidentally dove with a shark?
Yes, the nurse shark. Yeah, they were fishing, and there was a we were diving, and there was a nurse shark, and I was just in awe of this majestic beast. And I went up, and I just slid my hands down its back, and was just doing this. And my buddy Steve up top goes, "I think Clark's petting a shark," and that was how I became Clark the Shark. After that, it was funny. But I would love to go diving with you two someday. That's on like my bucket list. You know, I think that would be just a fun trip. I think like a Shark Con in July would be a fun time to see you guys in the flesh. So I'll try to make that happen.
Yeah, me
too. You're both great people for sure. But that'll be your show. I just want to thank you so much both for coming on, and encourage our listeners and viewers to go to thespicyshark.com and make sure to check out the New England Hot Sauce Fest this July. So Gabe and Amber, thank you very much.
Thank you
guys.
All right. Take care.
You too.